This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Father, we thank you that as we come, Lord, to together to surround your word, we understand that your word and your spirit, Lord, is all that we need. God, it's what we need for life and for godliness. It's what we need, Lord, for transformation. And so, Father, thank you that you have anointed your word. Thank you that your word will not return unto you void. Thank you that your word will have its perfect way with us. And Lord, I pray that this morning that it will be your word that brings a change in our hearts, that it will be your word that will lead us deeper into you and into understanding, God, the greatness of your love for us. Even speaking about your love, Lord God, just feels completely overwhelming because there's so much to your love. But I pray this morning that you will open up our ears to hear beyond the sound of my voice, to hear your voice, to hear what it is that you are saying to us in Jesus' name, Father. And I pray that you will come and reveal to us our own hearts. If there's anything in us, Lord, that would want us to disbelieve your love, anything inside of us that would want to stumble over the revelation of your love, that you will come and reveal that to us this morning through your spirit, and that you will come and just cut it out of our hearts, Lord, and remove any hardness of heart and give us a heart of flesh as you have promised us. In Jesus' name, amen. And so there's no other place and no better place to start when we speak about God's love than John 3:16. Amen. It's a verse that we all know very well. And I think sometimes because we know this verse so well, it can lose a little bit of its power. It can lose a little bit of its significance of our lives. And I've even heard people say at times that, we need to move on beyond the basics. But there are certain basics that you just cannot move beyond. There are certain basics that we dare not forget. There are certain basics that we need to reinforce in our lives over and over and over again, because it is what defines us. And I was in a conversation with two brothers this week, and the one said something so profound. He said, Jesus told us the greatest commandment. He gave us the greatest command. He gave us the greatest expression of God's heart. He said, this is what's most important to God. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your mind, all your soul, all your strength, everything. Love him with everything that you have. Love him as you're cycling up in the mountain. Love him as you're making coffee for someone else. Love him as you're washing your car with your gray water. Love him as you're looking after kids at home. Love him as you're working out the budget. Love him with everything that's inside of you. That there's no area in your life that should be separated from the love of God. Everything about you, love him with everything that you have. That is God's desire. Don't just do more, but love him more. Fall in love with him more and more every day. And then he says the second commandment too, that is love your neighbor as yourself. He says give expression to that love. Find somebody to touch. Find somebody to lavish that love upon. A neighbor speaks of somebody that's close to you. Don't just stay in your hooky. Don't just stay in your corner. Love someone. He says that is the expression of God's heart. All the commandments, everything from Genesis to Revelation can be summed up in those two commandments. Fall more and more in love with God. Love him, make him your affection, and then love people. Love him as you would love yourself. But love God first and allow God's love to be in your heart and out of that you love those around you. And if that is God's greatest commandment, in other words, if that is the greatest expression of God's desire, guess where the greatest frustrations and the greatest attacks and the greatest deception will come in? It will be in the area of loving God, in the area of loving one another. Everything the devil is up to, everything that he schemes and he connives and he puts into our lives, every trap, every deception, every sin, every frustration, every relational breakdown is geared towards us loving God less and loving one another less. Everything he does. There's nothing. That's the fullness of his schemes. And so it is important for us to understand the importance of God's love. And John 3:16 comes and John says it so beautifully. He says, for God so loved. And in Scripture, and I think most of us know this, I'm not going to go into this in too much depth, but in Scripture, there's a whole bunch of different words in the original Greek that's used for love. And our English language and Afrikaans language, it sometimes struggles to translate that accurately. We've got the word philia, which just refers to normal brotherly love, right? The way that I love a brother. Friendship, good friendship. You know, your buddy that you take along to the cricket match, and when you have an extra ticket, you think of him and you phone him, don't you want to come along with me? You know, just loving your brother. Good, solid friendships. That's important. We cannot do without that. And then it speaks about storges, another word which speaks about familial bonds, the bond between siblings and parents that we have within a family context. Then it speaks about eros, which is the romantic love, the love that should exist between husband and wife as well, the love that draws us to one another. But then he says all of those loves, as good as they are subservient and inferior, if you want to call it that, to the agape love of God, the agapeo love, the love that is unconditional, the love that is based in God and not based in humans. The love that's not based upon the actions of the person being loved, but based upon the character of the person doing the loving. And so he says, for God so agaped the world. He so unconditionally loved the world. Didn't just feel affection for the world. Didn't just say, you know, like, often the word love, I love what Corné, well, I love, it's the word again. I love what Corné said. Last year, Corné Becker spoke at Convergence. He said, you know, we use that word everywhere. I love coffee, I love my phone, I love my car, I love my dog, and I love God. You know, sort of, but it cannot be the same thing. You know, and God certainly doesn't just like us. Doesn't just like us as, you know, as a friend that you would spend some time with from time to time, or, you know, as in any one of those contexts. Yes, God unconditionally loved the world, that he gave his one and only son. And so God's love, and that's why this verse is so important, and why it's important for us to come back to this verse from time to time. This God's love, this agape love of God, is not a theoretical love. It's not a love that exists within the confines of a library, or just blogging on love, tweeting on love, thinking on love, singing on love, writing books on love. This love is a verb. It's an action word. It's God so loved the world that he intervened in our lives, that he gave. You cannot think of God's love and not think of a doing God, a searching God, a God that looks, a God that heals, a God that delivers, a God that steps into our lives. It is impossible to think about the love of God and to think of a passive, distant God. And therefore, God is not watching us from a distance. Think Cliff Richard, or somebody sang that song many years ago, or Beth somebody. God is watching us from a distance. There is an element of truth to that, because God has got the bigger picture. And so he sees things that we do not see. But the crux of biblical godly love is this. God loved us so much that he intervened. Christ became human. He stepped into our flesh and bone. He became like one of us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Not just an angel, not just a prophet, but he gave his very best. And so when we say that God loves and that God gives, it's important to understand that not only does God gives his best when he gives. He doesn't just give a little bit here and a little bit there because he's going to run out of love. He gives fully and abundantly. And he gives his best. He gives his everything. He sacrifices his son, his boy kid, the one that he loves so much. His very nature, he gives him. He sacrifices. He, in actual fact, would say that he loves us just as much as he loves his son. And so he sacrifices his son for us. And it's a phenomenal thought, and I think it's a thought that the religious spirit would want us not to stop at. Would want us to say, but yeah, you heard this verse when you got saved and then you moved on. But this is the foundation, this is the crux of everything about our lives. And it is in this area that the devil comes to attack us as well. And through our experiences and through things happening to us from a very young age, starting with the moment that we could conceive in the womb. Everything, the words, the experiences our mom goes through, the things our dad says over us while we're in the womb, the emotions our moms experience, all of those things, and us giving our first breath when we get born, and the way people look at us, whether we are welcomed home, or whether somebody's excited about us, whether somebody responds when we cry, whether somebody provides for us, whether somebody disciplines us in love, all of those experiences either makes us believe this or make us doubt this. God loved the world so much that he gave his son for me, that he intervened in my life, that he didn't just sit back and wind up the clock of my life and say, okay, there you go, live your life. And then from time to time, I might say something to you, or I might intervene, or I might answer a prayer here or there. It's God so loved, unconditionally loved, that he actively intervened, and he's still actively intervening. And in the session this morning, the word came out, and we're going to read it at the end. It says, if God, from Romans 8, if God did not spare his own son, but freely gave him up for us all, how much more will he not give us everything that we need? And so God, John 3:16 is the standard. It's a very high standard, but it is a standard according to which we need to evaluate everything else in our lives. God so loved the world. Then we need to make it personal. And this is where the religious spirit comes in. And we would say God loves the world, but can you put your name in there and say, God so loved Heinrich. Loved me so much that he gave his son to die for me. Then when Jesus was born, when the discussion was being had in heaven, how will we save humanity from their sin? And Jesus put up his hand and Jesus said, I will go, Father. And I will go for Heinrich. And I will be born in a manger. And I will be despised throughout my life. And people will think that I'm illegitimate. And they will want to stone me. And eventually I will be crucified. I will go through all of that torture. And I've got Heinrich in my mind. Just thinking about him. I was doing this pain, this agony of becoming human, of not being able to give full expression to my godly power. I'm doing this for Heinrich. Doing this for John. I'm doing this for Mike. I'm doing this for Sarah. I'm doing this for Rachel. God so loved you and me that he gave his one and only son. And he is still giving. He's still giving. He didn't stop. He's still giving. And then if we move on to the second verse, is that God demonstrates, right? Romans 5 verse 8. God shows, he demonstrates, he manifests. Right? Again, we see the connection in Scripture. And I just want to read a few Scriptures for you this morning. Every time we read about God's love, it is active. It is powerful. It is doing something. It is engaging. At times in the Old Testament, you will read how God even becomes emotional when he talks about his people. How they frustrate him and they turn their backs on him. And sometimes he just wants to cast them away from him because they hurt him so much. A passionate God, an involved God, not a calculated, cold, religious God that can't relate to us. God shows his love for us. Right? So when we talk about the revelation of God's love, it is important to understand that God's love wants to manifest in your life. That God wants to give you a testimony that you can say, God showed me his love. I'm not just reading about it in a book, and I'm not just preaching somebody else's sermon, but God showed his love to me. And when I say I'm going to share my testimony, I'm simply saying, look how much God loves me. And if I know he loves me this much, then I know he loves you as much. He shows his love. He shows his love. And so what does the enemy try to do? The enemy tries to blind us so that we cannot see that. But oh, God gives us a promise in 1 John. He says that God's life shines into the darkness. Shines into the darkness. And I'm trusting the Lord that this morning, he will shine into maybe some of the hardness, the crust around our hearts, to understand again the greatness of his love. He shows his love for us Then when we come together in the morning like this and we worship God and we sing all the songs, and then He especially loves us. No. He says that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. While we were sinners, while we were lying and turning our backs on God, wanting nothing to do with Him, He shows His love for us. While we were corrupt to the very core, while we were murderers, liars, thieves, pornographers, serial killers, rapists, pedophiles, while we were those things, God shows His love and sends His Son to die for us. It is a staggering thought, and it's a thought that your mind cannot comprehend unless the Holy Spirit comes and He opens up your heart to receive that. And everything in our lives wants to move us away from that point. And something you need to consider and something you need to think about if you think that you understand God's love. Think about your greatest weakness, your greatest sin. And ask yourself, how do you think God feels about you? With that thing sort of in the forefront of your thoughts. If it's not there, if it's been completely removed, if you brought it to Christ and Scripture says it is, it has been removed. God's love covers it. But you know when you really know whether you believe God loves you is when you've messed up terribly. It's a response of your heart. The enemy would want to push you away from God. Scripture says, no. You didn't deserve His love in the first place. While you were yet a sinner, Christ died for us. Philip Yancey said it so beautifully. He says, grace teaches us that God loves because of who God is, not because of who we are. And so when we think about God's love and about the revelation of His love, and over this next few weeks, we'll talk about how we can love one another and how we can love our community. But when we think about God's love, it is important for a while to remove ourselves out of the equation. Because God doesn't love us primarily because He has created us in His image. That plays a part. He doesn't love us primarily because we are going to do incredible things for Him. Doesn't love us because He has fearfully and wonderfully put us together in our mother's womb. And He's got great callings and destinies for us. All of those things are true. But He loves us because He is God and God is love. He loves us. It is part of His being. God is holy and God is just, and He's a fierce consuming fire, and sin cannot stand in His presence. That's why He had to send His Son, so that His Son could build the bridge between our sin and God's holiness, so we can have access into His presence. But it was God's plan, not our plan. And so whenever I'm tempted to take myself too seriously, be it in my weaknesses, be it in my challenges, I get back to these basics. And I just meditate upon God. It's all about You. It's never about me. It was never about me. And it is not about me even now. It's not about me. It's about God's love story and how He's working that out in my life. I can respond to that, but even my worship, even my desires to love God is in response to who He is. God teaches, or grace teaches us, that God loves because of who God is. He cannot not love, not because of who we are. In a complicated society such as the one in which we are living, I believe that we have to, even this morning, say to God, God, come and burn this in my heart. Come and burn this in my heart. Help me to understand it, to live it. And help me to demonstrate this, even towards those around me. There are two sort of seminal stories in Scripture. It speaks about this love that God has for us. And Jesus brought the one in the New Testament. It's a beautiful parable that demonstrates this to us. And all of us know the story of the prodigal son. I want to encourage you to go and read it again at home. It speaks about this loving father. It's got this massive heart. He apparently has got this massive mansion as well. Big place, lots of servants, a big yard. Audio Adrenaline many years ago. I don't think most of you will know who they were. But I heard a song saying about My God has got a big, big house with a big, big table with lots and lots of food. And we play in the yard or something like that. Big, big table with lots and lots of foods. A big God, a big heart, abundance. And that was the house in which those two brothers grew up. And the one took all his inheritance, took a knife and stuck it through his father's heart, so to speak, by the way in which he lived. Threw away his inheritance, did everything he could basically to hurt his father. And yet he knew that my daddy's home is constant. There's a place I can go back to. And when the conviction hit him, and it's incredible that it was his need that drove him back to God. Things fell apart. And then he came back to his father and he says, Daddy, if you will just make me one of your servants. And God restores him. Father restores him, gives him a robe and a ring and gives him just tremendous authority. He gets restored to the fullness of his rights. It looks like he even had more rights afterwards. And that's our story, our journey. We've moved back or away from God to just respond to his love, come back to him. And there's this beautiful picture within that story of the father looking for his son. And then he sees him from far and then he runs towards him. He runs towards him. He doesn't wait for him to get to him. He runs towards him and he embraces him. There was the one son that left home, the prodigal son that left home. But there's another prodigal son in that story, and he never left home. But his heart never trusted his father. His heart was far away from his dad. He was a slave within that house. He was called the son, but he lived as a slave. And the devil would want nothing more than those of us who have started off as prodigal sons, and we came home, and we were celebrated by the father to somewhere down the line become a prodigal son that maybe doesn't run away from God, but in our hearts, we've moved away from him. Like that prodigal son said, you're not throwing a party for me, Dad. When was the last time you celebrated me like this? You are unfair. Dad says to him, but everything I had was yours. Everything I have is yours. Use it, it's yours. And so many of us go through our journeys with Christ with this nagging suspicion that God is holding out to me. I've got to work, I've got to work, I've got to work, I've got to work. And then resentment built up in our hearts and God says, no, this is the year of joy. This is the year of enjoying my life. Go to the fridge, open it up, get a promise out there and drink that yogi sip. Take a deep sip. Don't know whether God has got coffee in his kitchen, but be that as it may, there's a lot of good stuff in there. So open it up. Drink deeply from my promises. Trust me. It's a beautiful story that captures the heart of God. But there's another story, and it's in the Old Testament, that speaks about God's love. And I think so many of us can relate to this story because it touches us at the very core of our lives. Because it is impossible to understand God's love unless we understand the difference between God's love and human love. And for the Jewish audience in Jesus' day, they understood no Jewish dad would wait for his boy the way that dad did. He goes to a pagan nation, throws away the wealth, a terrible steward, sits amongst the pigs, and his dad welcomes him back. It was just sacrilege for that audience. But I think sometimes that message gets a little bit lost on us. And here's this universal story, and it comes from this beautiful book in the Old Testament called Hosea. And verse 1 says that Hosea was a prophet of God. He was a man of God. And we know that the prophets were men who lived consecrated lives unto God. They were men who adhered very strictly to dietary regulations and who knew that to be holy meant to be separated. You couldn't just be like anybody else and live like anybody else. You had to represent God, and God was holy, and so God was different. And so they were a little bit weird. They did weird things, most of those prophets. You can read the stories and you thank God. Some of us that think we've got a calling for being a prophet need to thank God for the New Testament dispensation. But have a look at John the Baptist. Huh? He wasn't too normal either. But anyways, a whole bunch of weird stuff those guys are doing, lying on the one side for many weeks, and then another side for many weeks, eating stuff that you wouldn't normally eat, and it's just crazy, crazy stuff in there. But they knew they had to be different, because they had to speak God's word. And mostly they came and they spoke against the sin of God's people and said, that is wrong, that is wrong, that idolatry is wrong. The fact that you are abusing and misusing your domestic workers, it's wrong. The fact that you are abusing your workforce, it is wrong. The fact that you are praising me, you don't have a sark with your neighbor and with a stranger in your land, that is wrong. I despise it. Those were the kinds of messages the prophets brought. Justice, God is a just God. And here's this prophet who grows up in that tradition, holy, separate, different. All right, and he ministers in a time of kings that were decadent, they were prosperous at that stage, but their hearts were far away from God. And it says that when the Lord first began speaking to Israel through Hosea, so when he first began to speak to Israel, right, so one of the first messages, one of the platforms God gave Hosea was that God was going to do something in Hosea first before he was going to do something through him. And while he was doing something in him, he was doing something through him. That is still the way God works. Unless we are willing for God to do something in us that changes us, upsets us, turns the apple cart upside down, brings about a transformation inside of us, causes things to die inside of us, we cannot truly, really speak for God. It will just be theory, and there's so much theory going around. The world hungers and yearns for people who will not just sing about the love of God, talk about the love of God, but who will live the love of God. And I believe Hosea's call is our call to live the message. And for Hosea, it was a very particular one. He says to him, go, Hosea, go and marry a prostitute. All right, it must have been a very interesting conversation between God and the prophet. Don't know how many times God had to give him that message, whether he needed some confirmations, whether he asked for his prayer group and the WhatsApp group to just pray for the next 5 years, so just so he can make sure he really did hear from God. Don't know whether his response was a quick response. I don't know. I can only guess. Just go and marry a prostitute. Holy man of God, you with a calling to be a prophet, you who need to demonstrate and represent God's heart. When people look at you, they need to see who God is. Go and marry a prostitute. Here we see a first glimpse of the kind of God God is, the kind of love that he has. In other words, holiness that invades sin. Holiness that steps right into the middle of the darkest, deepest sin and does something beautiful with it. Go, marry a prostitute so that some of her children will be conceived in prostitution. Now, I think just all of us married, even those of us not married, try and wrap your head around that. Go and marry a prostitute. It wasn't exactly like Pretty Woman walking down the street. It wasn't exactly the Pretty Woman movie. Richard Gere, Julia Roberts, you know, gets this prostitute off the street. She comes and live with him, and you know, they fall in love. Stuff happened, beautiful stuff. Think out of the story. I think it was beautiful stuff. Can't remember, but sort of has a good twist to it. Go and marry her. And then he says that some of her children will be conceived in prostitution. Go and marry her. Bring her home. Some of her children will be conceived in prostitution. There's a good indication here that one or two, or maybe all three, we don't know, of the children that were born to Hosea and Gomer were not Hosea's children. Wrap your head around that. Love this woman. Love her children. Why? Because this will illustrate how Israel has acted like a prostitute by turning against the Lord and worshiping other gods. This will illustrate. If you read the book, that this illustrates how Israel is turning her back on God. In other words, that's the kind of pain we as human beings cause God. Think about it as a husband. Put yourself in that position. The woman you love turns her back on you. First and foremost, you go, you win her heart. She's not interested in you at all. And you persist and persist. You marry, you bring her home. And then somewhere down the line, a couple of times, she leaves your bed, goes to another man's bed for money, conceives children. I think your brain clutches out, doesn't it? I think it clutches out. That's a very definitive line in the sand right there. No. My love can go up to a certain point. Don't ask me to do that. It's impossible for us to understand the grace and the love of God unless we understand how much our sin hurts Him. You cannot talk about the love of God unless you talk about the human sin and what it does to God's heart. Gomer tears Hosea's heart apart. He loves her. She breaks his heart in 1,000 pieces. But then through Hosea's life, God says this, I will make you my wife forever, showing you righteousness and justice, unfailing love and compassion. Why? Because Gomer was responsive, because she was amazing, because she was a trophy wife, and he spotted the good genes in her, and he could see how beautiful the children would be, and he could see that she fitted in with his plan. She was mobile, she had the right degrees, and she was the right helpmeet for him. She could make nice pot of lekker kos. You watch the ad that says if you wanna see how this woman is gonna look at her mom, and then you know what she looks like. And so we did all this investigation. Now the mom looks good, and so Gomer will turn out good as well. There was nothing, none of that there. There's nothing in her except the fact that the love that was in his heart for her came from God. We have broken God's heart in 1,000 pieces through our sin. It doesn't matter whether you never been in prison, never done drugs, never done any of those things. The human condition of rebellion that says, I will not be under your house, God. I will not trust you. I will do things my way. I will look after my own heart. Big ways or small ways, stabs a knife into God's heart. We read that verse 2 weeks ago. But the Israelites not entering into their promised land. Why? Because in their hearts, they believed actually that God didn't love them. Therefore, they couldn't enter into their promises. If we want to enter into the purposes, as Anton shared with us last week, go and get the message if you haven't downloaded it yet. If we want to walk in His purposes, it is important for us to get to the place where we trust God's love for us. Not trusting His love, in essence, brings us to this place. And I want that message to sink in. I want us to think a little bit on that. Think what happens to Hosea's heart. Think what happens to God's heart. Think about His promise. I will make you mine forever. I'll show you righteousness and justice, unfailing love and compassion. God so unfailingly loved the world and had compassion on the world. Right? Put Gomer in there. And it changes that scripture a little bit. Put yourself in there. Good morning, Gomer. Here's Gomer. Hi, Gomer. Christ, our Hosea. The one that loves us. Wins us back to Him over and over again. I want us to just watch the second video clip, please. Just allow, if you can switch off the lights before we press play. Displayed from a human perspective, but I believe God just wants to touch our hearts a little bit around this area this morning. Thank you.
try your best, but you don't succeed. When you get what you want, but not what you need. When you feel so tired, but you can't sleep. Stuck in reverse. When tears come streaming down your face. When you lose something you can't replace. When you love someone but it goes to waste. Could it be
There's nothing theoretical about the love of God. It finds its expression in the moments when we hurt Him the most. It's when His love blazes the brightest. In the moments when we are the most undeserving. So I would like you to think this morning. Ask the Holy Spirit to help us. If you think of God's love and say, God loves you. God loves me. What comes to your mind? It's the word. It's the verse. What comes to your mind? God loves you. What is shaping your understanding of how much you know God loves you? Not think how much He loves you, but you know, yeah, deep down. For Gomer, it was that ring. I look at this ring and I'm throwing my life away. And yet it says that He loves me. Your ring and my ring is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ stands and speaks over every other experience, moment, person that has shaped your understanding of God's love. And if there's something that's standing between you and the love of God, then I want to ask that you would bring that this morning to the power of that ring. Reminds you that He loves you. And I want to read these last few verses for us. We need to finish in the next 2 minutes. Just allow the word to just wash over you. God being rich in mercy. Because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. God's love doesn't just give, doesn't just intervene. God's love, unlike that human song that says, I will try to fix you, I will try again. God's love brings us to life. Supernatural, powerfully. We can't resurrect ourselves. God's love brings us to life. And so if you have something that is dead, something that doesn't feel alive, I'm going to ask that you would bring that to God this morning, to the resurrection power of His love. If your revelation of God's love doesn't involve power, resurrection power, bring those areas to Him. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How much more shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is He who condemns? It is Christ who died and is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. What then shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for your sake. We are killed all day long, and we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. En al hierdie dinge is ons meer as oorwinnaars, the same verses in Afrikaans, deur Hom wat ons lief gehad het. Want ek is verseker dat geen dood of lewe of engele of owerhede of magte of teenwoordige of toekomende dinge of hoogte of diepte of enige ander skepsel enige ander skepsel ons sal kan skei van die liefde van God wat daar in Christus Jesus ons Here is nie. Can we stand? Because I would love to pray for us. We need to relieve our kids' church volunteers, but I want to ask you just to linger a few more minutes if you can. It's confirmed this morning in intercession that there are some of us, even though we know here in our heads God's love for us, there are things that are lying to us about God's love. And God wants to come and obliterate that this morning. He wants to come and remove it. Voices that are condemning and accusing. Things that want to intimidate us. And I want to ask us that we would just go to the one that says God's love empowers and protects. That you would come and that you would surrender this morning to the strength of His love. It's not about striving. It's not about you even this morning thinking, okay, I need to love God more now. It's not about that. If you're still thinking that, then there's room in your heart for more of His love. It's about surrendering to the strength, to the might of His love. Gomer couldn't try any harder to destroy the husband's love. She couldn't. Through God's grace, He kept on pursuing her, kept on pursuing her, kept on pursuing her. A human picture of an eternal love story. Can we close our eyes? Because there are some of us in this room, we have heard of God's love many times. But this morning, He's speaking very specifically to you. Very specifically to you. And He's reminding you of the cross of Jesus. Where He manifested and showed His love for you. And it's not about you turning over a new leaf. It's not about you stopping the drinking. It's not about you trying to be a better person. It is about His love that loves you as a sinner. You have hurt God, broken His heart. It says, if you would turn to Me. Maybe you have never accepted His love. You've maybe accepted a religious life or you've accepted becoming a better person. But this morning, the question is this, have you accepted the greatness of His love? You don't know God in His love. And we want to pray for you. We want to ask you that you'd respond this morning. You'll come back home this morning. Maybe you know Christ. Maybe you've never prayed a prayer of surrender to Him before. Maybe you've been saved 15 years, but this morning you know there's a little bit of Gomer that just needs to feel the embrace of Hosea. Your humanity, you need to surrender to Him. Just there where you are standing, our eyes are closed. If that is you, I just want to raise your hand because I want to pray this prayer over you now and then we're going to give some ministry time. I want you just to respond so we can pray together with you. Just close your eyes. God so loved you unconditionally. You've broken His heart. He loves you. I had this picture of Christ kneeling with that ring to many of us. Why don't you have a look at this again? It's how I feel about you. This morning, you just want to say, I'm coming back home, God. I'm surrendering to Your love. Just raise your hand. That is you. I want to pray for you. Thank you for the hands going up. Thank you. Just in response to God. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank You for the strength and the might of Your love. Thank You for these, my brothers and my sisters, God, again, just surrendering to the strength of that love that starts with You, is based in You, not in ourselves. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that You in Your greatness would come and overwhelm them. In Your greatness, Lord, would pour out an even greater revelation of the depth of Your love, the strength of Your love, the death-defying power of Your love. Every voice of accusation and condemnation removed, stripped of its lying, deceiving power. Instead, God, acknowledge that Christ calls us, woos us, draws us, embraces us in our weakest moments. Thank you for the strength of that love. And I can declare over them that nothing, God, will separate them from your love. Nothing, nix. Thank you for the grace to surrender in Jesus' name. I want to ask that we don't talk here. We need to go, we need to get our kids. But there's a song I want the other day to play for us. It's an Afrikaans song, and it speaks about Christ being our Prince of Peace. And I would like you to surrender to him this morning. Some of you will do it just there where you're sitting. Some of you need to take a step and just come to the front and surrender to his peace, his supernatural peace that flows from his love. Because there will come moments this year that will test your understanding of his love. And you can't gnash on your teeth, grit more, say, oh, we'll just believe. Surrender to his love. Gee oor aan sy liefde. So the other, if we can play that song, I'm going to bless the rest of you. If you need to go, you would slip out quietly, fellowship with us on the outside. Please don't talk in here. Just open up your heart and listen to the song if you can. Linger a few more minutes. Respond in every which way the Lord leads. If you've got physical illness, if that's a relational challenge, we'd love to pray with you. Trust God to do a miracle in your life. So respond quickly if you need to come while the song plays.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.